I like petting my cat.
Yeah.
Now, this is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studio. Free all to your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenate brazier waves. I like Twinkies. This warms your brain to a tasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Do you want a pizza roll, Michael W.D.?
I don't know. They probably have soy in it. I'm allergic to that.
Pretty much all I ever eat.
Mom, bring some Hot Pockets. Montel! Montel!
Yep.
Yeah. So I watched one of the worst movies I have ever seen in my life.
Well, we got to hang on a second. We got somebody important has passed.
Oh,
Dan Green from Scotland is no longer with us.
Yeah.
He's not dead. He just is late for the show. So he's dead to me until he gets on here. Yeah. I don't know what's up, man. Dan, if you're listening, get on here. You're late. I got an email from you 4 hours ago. It says, computer working fine today. I'm looking online for some topics. I'm still in mourning over David Bowie right now, to be honest. Yeah, so am I. So get on here and talk about it with me, because Jim Jesus is a young whippersnapper and doesn't care enough to respect David Bowie to have a decent conversation about him. He wants to talk about how much he hates Jamie L. Schumann's movies. Tell me
the Black Star album. The Black Star song that he, the single that he dropped, was it November?
It's weird.
It's weird, but that's why I like it. I love Schumann. Stuff Bowie. Like the Residents stuff. Yeah. Bowie.
Yeah.
I like stuff from Bowie. I don't know. Like
it's a concept album about dying. I'm not there yet, man.
Yeah. Someday. But yeah, so I've just never been a huge Bowie fan. Every time it's on, I'm like, oh, this is not bad. I like, this is good. But I never actually was in one of those moods where I was like, let's put on some Bowie. It's just never been a thing with me. So, caught me off guard, and I was kind of bummed out by it, no doubt. But
it's been one of the soundtracks of my life. I am almost never sad when famous people die. The last time I was sad when a famous person died, it was when Kurt Cobain died, and it was like 25 years ago. And nobody's been important enough to really. I was a little bummed that Lemmy died the other day. Like a week ago, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, it was like the same week as Bowie. And they were the same age. Lemmy was 70, Bowie was 69. Somebody said 69 is the new 27 after, because 27 Club, people die of like. Who died? Like Hendrix, Kurt Cobain, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix all died at age 27. And I posted
Amy
the other
lady. What's her name? With the beehive hair lady.
Oh yeah,
Amy.
Recently.
What's her name?
Yeah.
Forget her name.
I like her song about rehab, about how she doesn't need to go to rehab. That's a good song, man. It's soulful.
How did that work out?
I know. It worked out to a great song, and then she died. Yeah. So I posted the other day, I tweeted the other day, and this got a lot of retweets and reshares and likes on Facebook. I said that, you're getting old when your childhood rock star heroes start dying of cancer instead of drug overdoses and car crashes. And then I thought about that. I'm like, I can't even think of, a lot of my heroes died of drug overdoses, but I don't think any of them really died of car crashes. I think James Dean's the only guy that I know of that died of a car crash. Who died of a car crash?
The bass player for Cliff Burton for Metallica.
Oh, AC/DC. Yeah. Oh, no. Metallica. Well, he died in a van crash.
He died too, yeah.
They were all in the van, though. But like, when I think of car crash, I think of like someone going 185 in a souped-up top fuel vehicle called Little Bastard or something. Like James Dean.
Yeah.
That was the name of the car he died in, wasn't it?
It was something like that.
It was a Porsche. It wasn't a little...
I remember seeing pictures of the wreckage when I was little, and I was like, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that was back when like you had to look in books and magazines for that.
Yeah,
like,
I remember that.
Did you ever see that one? Hollywood, what was it called? That book by that filmmaker? Hollywood Babylon?
No. I remember the song by The Misfits. That's a really good song.
It's probably named after the book. It's a book by Kenneth Anger, the filmmaker, and it's about... it's all like, like centerfold size photos of like people in Hollywood's deaths and, things like naked starlets lying on a bed covered with money, things like that, just decadence and death. And, before the internet, before you had, what are some of those sites that you've warned me against or tried to?
I can't even recall off the top of my head.
Those ones that are just dead dead people pictures.
Oh, I think there's like a there was like a website that everybody used to talk about when
Dank.com. No,
no, it was called Rotten. It was called
Rotten.com. Yeah, it's still up.
And I'm, don't and I remember go to, people don't used to be go, like, oh, don't go there. You have to go there. Oh, no, there's other websites that are much better now, like Lemon Party and Tub Girl and Goatsy.
Yeah. Ain't no party like a lemon party because a lemon party is mandatory. That's what Liz Lemon says on... we're talking about a different kind of lemon party, but yeah.
So, yeah.
Barack Obama is a liar and a socialist, and his feet stink, but...
Yeah.
So, yeah, David Bowie's dead, and...
this should have been Lars Ulrich.
Sorry. 69 is the new 27. Yeah. Lars Ulrich. Yeah, he should have died back when he was suing his fans for file sharing.
Yeah, or he should have been shut down a long time ago when he couldn't figure out how to play the drums after 20 years.
Really?
Metallica's drummer is terrible. Terrible. He's always been bad. Like, it's usually, like, so repetitive, and the fills are just so bad. Listen to Metallica, like, again. You're going to notice everything is great except for the drums. Everything. Yeah. But I can't stand listening to Metallica because I've heard it all my junior high school years, all my high school years.
You know why he was a hypocrite for suing all his fans for Napster?
Yeah.
Because on the liner notes of their record, Garage Band Incorporated, which was their, like, get back to their roots cover record, you know, the kind of, like, really punky energy, get back to the roots one. He wrote on the liner notes in that about, or one of them wrote about how when they were starving and sleeping on floors, they loved to go through each other's record collections and make mixtapes. And I'm like, what's different between that and file sharing on Napster, you know?
Yeah, that's clearly some copyright infringement. They should have spent some time in jail and paid some heavy fines or something like that.
And been raped by the state. Yeah. By horizontal enforcement of other criminals.
Speaking of getting raped, should we talk about this movie that I saw?
Yeah, let's review a movie I didn't see. But I have a statement about this movie. So this movie's called Alongside Night, is that it?
Yeah.
By J. Neil Schumann, he's the writer. And, you know, it's a libertarian movie. And so this is one of those libertarians who cares a lot about intellectual property and has said, like, I don't know if it was him or L. Neil Smith, who's another old school libertarian who cares a lot about intellectual property. And I gotta say, like, you know, these guys were, you know, they're like 70 and around that age, and they were libertarians, you know, when I was a, you know, 20-year-old socialist. So I gotta give them credit for, like, getting it before me. But, you know, if I was older, I probably would have gotten it before them, you know, when they got it. But I mean, I remember my first day of college, I was tripping on acid. I went into the student union. I had, like, blonde hair down the middle of my back. I had little granny John Lennon glasses. I had an army jacket with psychedelic paint all over it. You know, I looked like a hippie. I looked like the dictionary definition of a 70s hippie. And this is like 1981. And I went and signed up. I got my student ID picture taken tripping, wearing a headband. And then, like, couldn't go to my classes at all. I was just, like, dazed. And and they had like card tables set up from different organizations, you know, like, greet the students. And one was the Libertarian Party. And I'd never heard of it. I didn't know what a libertarian was. I probably was one deep in my heart, but I didn't know it. And they looked at me and they were like, oh, hey, do you want marijuana to be legalized? And they handed me a pamphlet. And, like, I was tripping, and I thought they were, like, Christian evangelists. Like, they had that vibe. And I was like, no, man. And I handed it back.
They still kind of do have that vibe.
They do. And I handed it back to them without reading it and, like, didn't consider libertarianism for another 15 years or something, you know? Like, they tainted it for me.
I think my first interaction was, like, I was watching C-SPAN because I was a political junkie back then. And I was like, libertarians, that's interesting. I can't be bothered with it right now. And then it wasn't until, like, Penn and Teller's BS came along that I was like, oh, this is interesting. Yeah, so.
And now I look at that and I'm like, that's quaint. And, you know, today the Freedom Fiends got preempted on LRN for Penn Sunday School. And I was like, no, damn you, Penn.
Oh, what happened?
Well, because there was like a problem with the stream last night with Ian recording the Freedom Fiend, so there were some dropouts. So he didn't play. He didn't want to play. It was dropouts, so he just put something else on. So Penn preempted us today, and I was like, "Damn you, Con! You know, Con, Penn."
The Penn Sunday School, I used to like it, but recently, ever since he's lost weight, that's all he ever talks about is dieting, and it's like, I shouldn't be doing this, but
this is not I'm overweight, but I'm more concerned with like breathing. I have some MWD colon hashtag updates. So I did now that I'm on CPAP and BiPAP and like, you know, this machine that makes me breathe when I forget to when I'm sleeping, and I have the oxygen concentrator hooked up to it. Like, I did a take home, borrowed the oximeter meter, recording meter that goes on the wrist and the finger from my doctor, and then took it back to them and had them read it. And they said that my oxygen is still low when I sleep. Like, it's, you know, it's supposed to be like 90 to 95% saturation of what's possible. Like, the reading of 90% or more is good. Below that is bad. Like, I'm averaging like 86% in my sleep and going as low as 79%. So they told me to turn up the oxygen concentrator from 2 liters per minute to 4 liters per minute. So,
that's a little high.
Is it?
It's on the higher side.
It's not directly into my nose, though. Like, when I'm, if I'm using the oxygen concentrator into my nose, I'm supposed to leave it back at 2. But at 4, it's mixing with the air in the CPAP machine. So it's still not that going to be that high. So.
Yeah, okay, but, that makes sense.
Yeah. So basically, like, I can't live without life support. I'll be brain dead. So I don't know. You know, I'm going to have to go down to Denver for a second opinion, and I may even do like, I may break down and do some kind of like fundraising thing directly for this, because it's not going to be covered. I'm going to need like $5,000 in advance or more to go down to Denver for 2 days to this clinic and have them find out what's really wrong with me. This world class Jewish hospital, asthma hospital thing. So. I don't think it's, you know, it won't be covered by my, it'll be below my, what's called your deductible on your insurance, because the year just started. So,
yeah,
that kind of blows.
So this is what's pretty much causing you not to go to Porkfest this year then, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But I'm going to be, people are going to be doing the show from Porkfest, and I'm going to be on the show, like, living vicariously. You know,
from here. I'm going to try my best to get out there. I guess Steve Miller said he's going for sure. Nick said he may go. He's trying to go. I got some people
if you go, I'll get to go, and we want to do a
podcast there. So
I'll try to get Libertarians Against Humanity like on the schedule as an event. All right, so we're going to be back in a few. So I was tripping
with a movie review that we promised.
Well, yeah. I got to tell more about when I was tripping first day of college.
Oh, cool.
I didn't finish that story.
We love trip reports.
We got no show notes.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Yeah. I had to put some oxygen on, man. Oh.
Yeah. Yes, I had to put some oxygen.
How do you talk like that?
I have to put some oxygen on my face. Ugh. Pain. Oh, excuse me. My pizza rolls is done. You want a pizza roll? That's pretty much all I ever eat.
Yeah. So I was tripping the first day of college, and it was community college, which my friend described as high school with ashtrays. That's what he said about community college. It's pretty funny. Although they don't have ashtrays anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. Smoke,
but
yeah.
Used to be. Yeah. So, my dad had gotten me an apartment, in the ghetto of this town, Jamestown, New York. It's a really crappy little town. It's where people go to die. And,
like Florida.
Yeah, Lucille Ball's from there. 10,000 Maniacs are from there. I used to go see them in a bar. They were the only thing going on. So, like, I've seen them like 70 times before they got famous. So, dad got me this apartment. It was like, it was infested with fleas. And it was like surrounded by like welfare recipients, like white trash people. And So the mothers were always out drinking during the day, and they would like leave their kids at home. So like I'd play guitar really loud, and it was like the Pied Piper. Like all of a sudden I'd look up and there'd be like five little kids standing in my kitchen, like, you know, whose parents were out at the bar, and they would just hang out and watch me play guitar. But so before I got back to my house the first day, like I didn't know the town at all. So I literally like I'm tripping incredibly, like peeking, walking home from college, skipping classes the first day. And I'm trying to find my house. I'm trying to find my apartment. And I'm standing on this street corner. I'm like 18 years old, standing on the street corner, first day away from, you know, on my own. And I'm looking around, like really confused. And this little kid comes up to me who's like 10, this little blonde kid who looks exactly like me at 10. Like it's like little me talking to me because I'm tripping. and he goes, "What's the matter, mister?" And okay, it's the first time anyone's called me mister, so I'm instantly bummed out. I'm like, you know, I hear echoing down the chambers of my head, "You're old, 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 old." And I looked at him and I'm like, I'm convinced I'm talking to me, like through a time warp, because he did look like me. And this little blonde kid, and I go, "Hello, kid, I'm trying to find my house." And he scratched his head and he goes, you know, he probably had lice or something, but he scratched his head and said, cocked his head at me and said, "You don't know where you live, mister?" Like, he's thinking, like, I'm 10 and I know where I live. What's wrong with you, you trippy dude? It was pretty funny. But then I realized, like, it was right around the corner, and he became my neighbor and friend, and he was one of these kids that I ended up babysitting for free in my flea-infested apartment. When you know, his parents would be out like whoring at the bar or whatever.
Yeah, they're like, "Oh, you know that guy you were telling me about who looked like he was on drugs? Yeah, go stay with him for a little bit."
Yeah, he's a better influence than your cousin. So, yeah. We don't want you around your uncle. Go see that weird stranger.
Yeah.
All right. So that's my story for the day. You got a movie review?
Yeah. So I'm gonna be doing like a 70 minute long review to this thing, and it's gonna
right now.
I'm gonna do like kind of like a synopsis of it. The video is gonna be much funnier because I'm writing jokes.
A synopsis.
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 Synapsis. Synapse. What am I saying?
So I gotta say, yeah. I'm gonna take up more time here before you start your review. This might have to start the next segment. Okay, so Janie L. Schumann debuted this movie at Porkfest sort of 2 years ago when I went to Porkfest. But he didn't do it at Porkfest, but it was on the Porkfest calendar as an event, except it wasn't at Porkfest at the campground, at Rogers Campground. It was in town at a movie theater, and it cost $10. So it was like, I don't think anybody left. And they didn't have like vans going there or anything. Like, you had to get your own ride there and back into town. Like, who's going to leave because by evening, like, everyone's stoned and drunk anyway. And, you know, there's cops out there trying to bust porks. So it's like, who's going to get in a car and go into town and pay money and leave Porkfest to do that? So what I did, when they told me I could show my movie DIY or Die and my movie Guns and Read the Road to Freedom whenever I wanted, whatever days, whatever times, I showed DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, as a featured event at Porkfest for free at the campground at the exact moment his movie was showing in town. I did it as competition, just because I don't like that he's, you know, pro IP. I don't like the intellectual property thing. It's not libertarian, man.
Oh, it gets sillier, by the way. There's more information to that I have.
Cool. And
I'll bring it up later.
Oh, right. Worms. I'm worried about Dan.
Dan!
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Yeah.
Avatar was basically Fern Gully. Sorry, Kinsella, it's not a good movie. Speaking to one person on live radio.
Libertarian, that's what we do. Yeah. Libertarian movie reviews with Jim Jesus.
Yeah. So before we get into it,
I'm going to just sit here and breathe a bunch of oxygen and get high from it.
So you talked about how he was kind of threatening people with copyright lawsuits at Porkfest for just playing a DVD version of his movie at Porkfest, and he ended up throwing a fit. You know, and saying like, "Oh, this is copyright. This is I own this material," and blah blah blah. It's like, no, you don't actually. Only legally. But there was actually another story to that, because before this even happened, he also was. I guess it was more of a press release than actually threatening to do it. Just kind of like a way to get some free press for him. He was threatening to sue the federal government for copyright infringement for ripping off his book, because everything that's happening right now is going according to this book. I still haven't seen FEMA camps everywhere, but whatever. anyways, he made this movie called Alongside Night. Apparently, he didn't get that much money from that lawsuit that he said he was going to get money for to fund. And what we got was probably one of... is the worst movie that I've ever seen. And mind you, I had just watched Garbage Pail Kids, The Room, and Birdemic not too long ago. So I'm up on my bad movies, and it's even worse than all of those. It's painful to watch. It's really hard. And it's about a kid whose father is an Austrian economist who wrote a book, who fakes his own death in order to get out of the country so they didn't have to go to FEMA camps. And basically kind of like there's like an ANCAP world where they go to, and it's all the bizarre kind of like, it's almost like the straw men that people paint about libertarianism, how bad it's going to be. They actually go into a drugstore and there's like all kinds of just drugs everywhere, and you're just like, oh, this is horrible. But they're like presenting it like, oh no, it's great, you know, that you can go and buy these drugs and give them to kids, you know, and the only thing that's bad's going to happen to you is the pharmacist is going to tell you no. The acting is absolutely terrible. The editing is god awful. The green screen effects are just
the trailer is good bad. Though I gotta say, I saw the trailer and I was kind of pleasantly surprised.
Really?
Yeah,
I saw it and I was like, this is going to be bad.
All right, well, you're more critical. I'm more hopeful.
Okay, well, I guess I'm cynical. So, but there's also, like, these things in the movie that if you're a libertarian, you're going to, like, pick up on, which is fine. Like, I have no problem with that. Like, oh, like, I kind of get that. That's a neat little reference. But it's happening so often in the movie that it's, like, distracting. Like, there would be posters of, he goes to a lady of the night and meets with her, and in her apartment she's got pictures of Benjamin Tucker, who's an anarchist philosopher, Milton Friedman, Lysander Spooner, just everywhere, and they're just kind of like haphazardly tossed on the wall, like anarchy symbols.
I think if we were in the libertarian paradise for a while, I think that stuff wouldn't be everywhere. I think it'd be nowhere. I think it'd be like, we don't need heroes, man. Everyone's part of this, you know?
Yeah.
But maybe some of you will probably like heroes and, you know, bow ties. I gotta say, bow ties aren't cool. I think they're emasculating. I really do, man. There's a really good movie.
Some people can pull them off.
You ever seen a movie called State and Maine?
No.
Great, great movie. I highly recommend it. One of the Baldwins plays a guy who's sleeping with a movie star who's caught sleeping with underage women in it and gets in trouble. It's basically a small, like Hollywood comes to a small town in either New Hampshire or Vermont and destroys it, making a movie. And it's got Philip Seymour Hoffman in it before he died. And it's a good movie. It's directed by David Mamet, who's one of my favorite directors, who's a playwright. He's also one of the only non-liberals in Hollywood. He's a kind of conservative libertarian, and his wife's in it. She's cast in a lot of things he does. She's really good, and there's a doctor in it, like an old country doctor who makes house calls, who's kind of the mentor, you know, kind of like the voice of reason that keeps telling the main characters where they're going wrong. And he wears a bow tie. And at some point, like, he's telling Philip Seymour Hoffman's character something, and Hoffman's character's like, really? You think I should do that? And the doctor's like, Of course not. Why would you listen to me? I wear a bow tie. A normal tie points down at the genitals to accentuate virility. A bow tie points up at the ears to make you look like a clown. And I agree.
Yeah. I remember there was something about Jon Stewart when he pretty much ended the show Crossfire. He got on there and he was like, the whole time he was like, why should we take you seriously? You know, you're sucking up to John Kerry the whole show. And he was like, you're wearing a bow tie. Yeah. So, I mean, some people can pull it off, but it's not very common. And
yeah, my favorite line from that interview was, you know, like they were telling Jon Stewart he had to have more like responsibility for his audience. And he's like, have you seen our show? We follow a show where puppets make crank phone calls because that's what they followed back then, was crank anchors.
Yeah, it's like if you have to turn to us for journalistic integrity, like we're just gone. gone in society.
It's Alec Baldwin's in this movie, and it's William Macy's in this movie. Sarah Jessica Parker, Alec Baldwin. Really good movie. State and Maine. Go find it and watch it. State and Main. Yeah, they destroy the town of Waterford, Vermont. But it might as well be like Fiend, New Hampshire. It looks just like Keene, you know?
Fiend, New Hampshire. And if you're a masochist, you should try Alongside Night. It's terrible.
Watch Alongside Night and then watch half of it and then get disgusted and go watch State and Maine and have a good laugh.
Or I think if you really want to watch a terrible movie, you should go see The Room. It's by far the best.
Oh, The Room?
Worst movie.
Everyone loves
or Troll
The Room,
2. Yeah. Troll 2 is great. My cat is yelling at me.
I hear it.
Yeah. And Birdemic, that one's classic. But this one, it's like some of those ones are so bad, it's like entertaining to watch. Like it's great to see how like bad it's gonna get, and it's funny because it's so bad. This is like so bad that it's like hard to watch. Like it hurts you inside when you watch it. It's like
hard
something
to watch.
Is killing you inside because you're like, okay, so maybe this is gonna get a little bit better. And then like he walks down the street and there's just like this random TV stuck to the side of the wall with Free Talk Live playing. Like not this them, but it's like, why is that there besides just getting libertarian brownie points? Like, why are they giving tickets away to go see the 3D edition Silk Road version of A Moon is a Harsh Mistress movie? But then ends up turning out to be a Penn and Teller show. Like, can you at least keep some consistency? Can you calm it down with the libertarian brownie points? And let's get on with the story. But it's the whole movie. The whole movie's like that, just constantly, oh, libertarian this, libertarian that. Oh, this guy's named Konkin. Get it?
David Mamet directed Glengarry Glen Ross. You ever seen that?
Yeah, he's like a conservative now. I think I've heard this guy. Yeah.
He also did that biopic of Phil Spector. It was really weird.
Oh, The Agony and Ecstasy of Phil Spector? I have seen that. That was a great film.
It was just called Phil Spector. It's hilarious.
Oh, really?
It has Al Pacino in it as Phil Spector.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, it was HBO? Great too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I had seen a documentary called The Agony and Ecstasy of Phil Spector, and they're going through the whole trial of it, and they actually got an interviews with Phil Spector, and he's explaining like why he had a huge afro that day and stuff, and it's one of the funniest things ever. It's not trying to be funny, it's just Phil Spector is just that kind of character you just end up laughing at because he's so crazy. But I like Phil Spector's music. I mean, I don't know.
David Mamet wrote an article for the Huffington Post called "Why I Am No Longer a Brain Dead Liberal." That's funny. Yeah. He's into Hayek. No, he's more of a libertarian. You know, the thing is, in Hollywood, the libertarians all end up like backing Mitt Romney because they don't know that you cannot back a politician. You know, like who else did that? The cowboy guy, who's the great cowboy director, film star, Dirty Harry.
Clint Eastwood. Yeah, Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood's a libertarian who backs Republicans.
Yeah.
And so is.
And he also does like cringeworthy speeches at RNCs.
Oh God!
But.
Yeah, he's really nationalistic, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna name his name. But I was living in Hollywood for like 9 months, and I was like a kind of a personal assistant, I guess.
Oh, say his name.
No, because I'm going to get into why, because we used to grow medical marijuana. And so he was actually kind of like conservative director. And it just it was so weird hearing him talk about how, like, once they find out you're not a liberal, it doesn't matter if you're conservative or libertarian, you're not a liberal in Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's really hard to, like, they're like, oh, you're that guy.
You have to be a big star before you can, like, come out as that, mm-hmm. really. Yeah, because you won't get any work. You have to be someone who can make your own work, like David Mamet or who's the other guy? Angelina Jolie's dad.
I forget his name. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a conservative. Yeah. In Hollywood.
Isn't there some kind of weird thing going on with their family? I think I read something about that.
Her brother. I think her kissed on the lips and stuff.
Yeah.
John Voight. John Voight is let's see, who else is a conservative? One of the Baldwins, one of the less the Baldwin that has a radio show on GCN. What's his name? Billy? No.
Billy, I don't know. And then there's Bill Whittle. I think
Andrew Clavin's interesting.
In Hollywood.
Yeah. Here's something. Both John Voight and that Baldwin, who are now conservatives, played male hookers in movies. John Voight played one in Midnight Cowboy, and the Baldwin guy played one in Last Exit to Brooklyn.
Yeah. Also, Stephen Baldwin is like a hardcore Republican now.
It's him. He was the one that played a male hooker. Drug warrior, yeah. It's horrible.
He was also a stoner in Half-Baked and Biodome.
Yeah.
Biodome, another great, terrible movie. Great, terrible movie. I love
it. You know, I almost had a song. No, it wasn't Biodome. My band Bomb, they almost put one of our songs on the Warner Brothers record in Encino Man, but it got cut at the last minute. Uh-huh. If that had happened, I'd still be living off that, like the checks from that, probably.
Yeah.
Too bad.
One of my friend's band, Voodoo Glow Skulls, is actually in Biodome.
Nice.
And I guess they didn't even know. They were told after the movie came out that, oh, you know your song was in there? Like, really?
Yeah. I think they replaced the Bomb song with that. They were like, you know, courting us about it. And I think we were just too cocky.
They didn't like we'll just go with this small time band in Riverside, Voodoo Glow Skulls, whatever.
Yeah.
Biodome is a great, terrible movie. Freddy Got Fingers, a bite. Great, terrible movie. I don't know. I love terrible movies, but Alongside Night was just painful. I can't recommend it.
It wasn't bad enough to be good.
Yeah, it's not. It's bad enough to be hurtful and painful.
Right.
It's a torture device. I'm sure they use it at Gitmo.
Yeah.
And Jake Busey's in it, by the way.
I don't know who that is.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yeah, we're on.
Meow. Meow.
Do everything as dank as if it's the only thing you'll be remembered for.
And make sure that your dank memes get on. What was that website? Politicheck?
Yeah. PolitiFact? Oh, yeah.
PolitiFact, yeah.
You can never tell. Well, here's the thing. You got to make. Okay, we're echoing. Your headphones are leaking. You got to turn them down a little bit. You got to make every. Like, Steve Miller makes every image so good that it could be on PolitiFact, but one of them finally did, you know? Like, you have to make 1,000 memes that are great before one of them goes viral like that, I think.
Yeah, I don't know why my headphones are leaking, but I hope it stopped. But, we actually collaborated on a meme not too long ago, and it was fantastic. It was the Tiger Beat
edition.
Yeah,
but I collaborated on that meme, too. I didn't get credit on that one, but I collaborated on it, too, because I said something on the show. I said something on the show. I don't think you were on the show, but you were someone was talking about Bernie, and they were talking about Obama girl and pinups, and I said, I want to see pinups of naked guys that look like Bernie Sanders. And that, I think that kind of influenced Steve to do that one with you.
Yeah. Well, I
don't need credit. I'm just saying, like, how the memes work in the Fiends. We're a collective. We're not a commie collective. We're a capitalist collective. That's more like a cartel. We're a meme cartel, basically.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
The Bernie Sanders with the shirt off with hot Karl Marx, that was totally my idea. I just threw that in. I didn't even tell him I was going to do it. I just did it. And he was like, that's amazing. So,
well, great minds think alike then.
Yeah, I guess.
He didn't say anything to you about, and you didn't hear that episode?
That was... I probably heard it and it registered in my brain. Yeah, and then it just, you know, it's like one of those things like, oh, that's my idea.
In the Fiends is required by law to have the Fiends on 24/7 in the background. Even you can turn it down, but you can't turn it off. It's like the telescreens in 1984.
Yeah. It was like that show on Marin. Yeah. It was like that episode of Marin where he goes on a show and tells a joke and he didn't realize it, but he hacked someone's joke.
Oh, yeah. And then the guy shows up and it is gangster cokehead roommate. Yeah.
Yeah. So hobo roommate. Kind of like one of those things. So sorry I stole your joke. I didn't know. I try not to steal jokes. And when I steal jokes, I make it clear, like, oh, yeah.
No, you didn't steal my joke. No, man.
Okay.
It's but we're on the same team, so it's really not stealing. And I'm not demanding
team.
I'm not demanding credit. No, we're not tribalist, man. I tell you, we're a cartel. We're the meme cartel.
Yeah.
We're the cartelians.
Worms.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, are we still talking about bad movies or maymays? We're talking about
what's
bad
maymays?
Memes?
Maymays. Who calls them that?
Everybody. It's one of those kind of things where we make fun of people who don't know better. Yeah. Well, it's a meme is a meme of people who can't say meme. And
yeah. Meme. Well, Steve Miller said his mom thought meme was a dish because he always talks about tasty memes. She's like, I want to make some. I like to cook. What goes in a meme?
I want some spicy memes.
Yeah.
How spicy do you make your memes? I can't have it too spicy. I got an ulcer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, bad movies. Have you seen any good bad movies?
I'm not really that big of a fan of my wife and I the other night watched Piranaconda with Michael Madsen. Michael Madsen is best known as... the only thing he's in like 1,000 movies. He's one of those guys who's always working, but he's kind of one of those, oh, that guy actors. Mm-hmm. There's actually a documentary about this kind of actor. It's called like That Guy Who Was In That Thing. I think that's the name of it. And it's an interview with
movie
like
with
20.
That guy that was out in that movie that was out last year.
Yeah. It was in that thing. Yeah. The thing most people know Michael Madsen for is he's in, Reservoir Dogs. He's the guy that cuts up the cop while listening to Stuck in the Middle with You, that song, which is like the most memorable scene ever in a movie, one of them, and it's horrible. But you know, I challenge you to watch that movie and then ever hear that song again without thinking of that scene.
Every time I hear that song it just goes to that.
But he's put on some weight and he was in this sci-fi straight to torrent movie called Piranaconda, and it's exactly what it is. It's a monster movie about a piranha anaconda giant hybrid, and it's, you know, it's got the sexy scientist and blonde woman and the army and the guys with guns and the president of the United States. All those movies have the same plot. I mean, really, like Independence Day is the same movie, just high budget. It's got the same plot points, the same minute. You can tell when the president's going to get on and send the army in, you know?
I hated that movie.
It's a good movie, as popcorn movies go.
Independence Day?
Yeah, but Piranaconda, not so much, with Michael Madsen. We'll be back with Hour 2. Hopefully we can find Dan and we'll wake him up. He's passed out in the moors of Scotland, listening to a Ron Paul tape.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yeah, we're on the radio. Meow.
The Freedom Beans, broadcasting from the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Beans is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
So, what's up, Michael Dean?
I don't know. I'm still kind of worried about Dan. Dan and his bigger buttons. I don't know where he is, man. I talked to him a few hours ago. He's, I don't know, man. I think he's lost on the moors, passed out, rubbing himself to Ron Paul. That's what you get when you skip my show, when you flake. I will imply that you're face down worshiping Ron Paul and, like, looking at, you know, pictures of him with his shirt off and loving it.
That's the same one that does that drag show, right? Was that the same?
Ron Paul? No, RuPaul. It's his daughter.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's Ron Paul's daughter.
Oh, so he's good racially then? Okay. That's cool.
Probably.
Awesome.
You know there's a place called Hugo, Colorado? There's somebody from there on the Fiend site right now.
Isn't he a co-host? Oh no. That's
Hugo, Colorado.
Mexico.
You know, last night we were doing YouTube on the radio, which is ridiculous. And this is even like one step beyond that. It's I'm reading my web stats on the radio. I'm just going to read off the names of towns where people are looking at the Fiends.
So now everybody's going to start climbing on. Hopefully they're like, oh, I can get my city named, my obscure city in Minnesota.
Because libertarians don't care. They don't have that like nationalism for their town that people try to breed into you with sports. Well,
except me, but I do it as a joke. But I kind of joke around that I'm a Vegas nationalist.
But nobody's from Vegas, really, are they?
No, there are people. When you meet people in Vegas, the first question you ask is where are you from originally.
Kind of like San Francisco's like that too.
Florida.
Yeah, like the whole time I lived in San Francisco, I knew hundreds of people. I only knew like two that like actually went to high school in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's rare, but they do happen, and you know there's a lot of families there and stuff.
Yeah, and they both changed their names. It was Tony Fagg, drummer from Bomb, whose real name was Anthony Short, and then the guy from Brian Jonestown Massacre. What's his name? He went to school with Tony, like in the same class.
Hmm.
They went to So
yeah, that I don't band know. Name what's sounds that guy's familiar. Name? I don't know, but that band name sounds familiar. Why do I know that band name?
Because they're people who make it a point that you've heard of them. Because he's an egotistical loon. Yeah.
And aren't all band members kind of that? That's kind of, or at least the front men. That's kind of your job is to be an egoist, right? Or egoist. Yeah. No.
Anton is the guy's name. He actually went by his own name, by his real name. Anton Newcomb. Newcomb. Newcomb all.
Interesting name.
Yeah. Anton's a weird name.
Yeah. So I read this interesting article. It talks about how God finally is about to, is almost done achieving his supergroup lineup, and he's got Lemmy and David Bowie in it so far. I wonder who's going to be taking next.
John Bonham, too, man.
But I think he's trying to create a new one. That's why he got those two recently.
Yeah, he doesn't want those old guys.
Yeah. You know, supergroups, you know, they only last for a little bit, and then you're like bored of them, and then you want another supergroup. So
I have some insider baseball about Lemmy because I did a record that was produced by Bill Laswell, and he did a record that was produced by Bill Laswell, the Orgasmatron record by Motorhead, which is the like least rock sounding record by like Bill Laswell emasculates bands unless he's the bass player on the record. Then the bass sounds great. But if he's not the bass player, I think he subconsciously just makes the bass players and drummers sound bad and like thin. So, but he said that when they were recording like, I kind of threw a little temper tantrum when I was in there recording with him because I was frustrated. And, like, the, you know, the record label paid for us to have this, like, you know, star producer, but wouldn't put us up in a cheap hotel. Like, we were sleeping on friends' floors and recording in New York on a major label. So I was kind of frustrated, like, 3 weeks into it. And we were there a month. And I just threw some little fit sometime. And then I, you know, apologized for it. And somebody in the band was like, so Bill Laswell, do you usually deal with people like Michael? Or is it usually smoother than that? And he's like, oh, it's usually better than that. You know, people get kind of upset. But one time, Lemmy tried to throw a bass through a plate glass window, tried to kill me. And that's not something that's known, but I don't know if he tried to kill him, but it was like, you know, the glass separating the control room from the band room. Lemmy threw a bass as hard as he could at one of those, and it was plexiglass and bounced off and like hit the drummer or something. But
yeah, I think one of the most interesting stories that I heard about people recording in the studios was Phil Spector going into
pulling guns on people.
Pulling guns on people. The one I find the funniest was when he went to John Lennon when they were recording Let It Be and fired his gun into the ceiling of the recording studio, almost deafening John Lennon. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, he pulled guns on lots of people. Although yeah. Leonard Cohen, he didn't pull a gun on Leonard Cohen, but like Leonard Cohen said, yeah, the recording we did together didn't go all that well because his darkness, my darkness canceled out his darkness. It couldn't exist in the same, like it formed a black hole or something. But you know, actually there was this girl, I used to do this kink, I've mentioned this like 400 episodes ago, I'll bring it up again because it's interesting. I used to do this like kink podcast with my wife back in 2006. It was like the first, you know, I was an early adopter of podcasting. And so we get these letters from women who are, you know, kinky and like submissive and like, oh, your podcast and your book changed my life, blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, like would trust us as this like voice in the dark that they could spill their secrets to. This girl sent, this is when Phil Spector was, like had been arrested, but the trial hadn't started yet and he was out on bail. And this girl sent me pictures of herself in Phil Spector's mansion with her arm around him. Like she knew him and had hung out with him. And she confided to me and my wife that, the woman he had killed the woman, like this woman said that Phil Spector had told her, yeah, I confided to her, and I can say this now because he's in jail for it. You know, it's not breaking a confidence, really. And I don't even remember the woman's name, but like that Phil Spector had killed the woman by accident while doing a kink thing with a loaded gun, like a, you know, faux rape thing, like a power play thing, and was using a loaded gun, and it went off, which is the most ridiculous thing you could ever do. In bed, it's like you don't point a loaded gun at anyone, no matter what. Yeah. There's actually a Sopranos about that. Do you remember that?
Where I've never watched the Sopranos.
Tony's sister is into that with her boyfriend, who she later kills. I don't think he's really that into it. I think she's putting up with it. But her boyfriend's one of the gangster friends of Tony.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never got into that show. I didn't have HBO, so
I have insider baseball on what really happened in it. Like, I don't know how I end up with this stuff, but it's like I have insider baseball about something Lemmy did that no one knows about, and I have insider baseball about what really happened that night in Phil Spector's house, man. I don't know, like the insane have always loved me, as people say, you know.
And they can find a new murder evidence.
Find me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was really freaked out that girl told me that, because I was like, I don't want to know that, you know. And I thought like Phil Spector was going to have me murdered or something. That's one of the reasons I got guns, was to protect myself from what I thought Phil Spector would do to me. Yeah.
Well, I guess you don't need them now. You can turn them all into Obama, right?
Yeah, because he'll protect me from Phil Spector and Lemmy.
It doesn't matter because I'm actually leaving, but your laws stay, right?
Yeah.
turn in your gun and I'll give you a pizza roll. I'm voting for Plinkett for president.
Who's Plinkett?
Yeah, Henry Plinkett. That's the voice that I was doing. Is there?
Who is Plinkett?
Okay, so Plinkett is a series of videos. He reviews movies, but he's most famous for reviewing the Star Wars prequels and talking about how terrible they were. And I'm sorry, Chandler, those movies were terrible, awful, and they're not so bad. It's good movies either. Everything about the Star Wars, the original prequel, or no, the original movies were great. The prequels were absolutely terrible. And they're like 70-minute reviews, each of them. And they kind of cut in and out every once in a while because he'll be talking about how bad the movie is. But then he's like, ain't you ever killed a hooker in your crawl space before? You got to use some Raid. You get the high kill, low irritant one, the one in the blue bottle. It takes about six of those, and then like it'll cut in and out, like, oh, and like it shows him like having like a hooker tied up in his basement while he's showing off all of his Star Wars toys.
Wow.
It's like, yeah, it gets dark and fun. It's funny and informative if you really want to know how bad those movies were. But yeah, and he kind of talks like this, and all he eats is pizza rolls. That's all I ever eat.
You know, there's a name. Have we talked about that? There's a name for that accent. There's a couple names for it. One is called Long Island Lockjaw. That's the nickname for it. Cuck. What's his name? The conservative guy. No, the old guy. William Buckley Jr. talked like that. And actually, so did the liberal that he debated. Who was the guy he debated in those debates on TV?
Noam Chomsky?
No. 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 And they just made a movie about it. It was really good. But the other name for it is a mid-Atlantic accent. And the thing is, it's not a natural accent. It's a created accent that was created and taught at prep schools on the East Coast in like the 20s through the 40s. And it was also taught in like acting classes and like how to be on radio classes, like people that were addressing the public. Yeah,
I think that was the transatlantic thing. So it's a take on that. Then
I thought it was the mid-Atlantic.
No, it's the it's a transatlantic because it's talking about the transferring back and forth from England to United States.
Yeah,
they wanted kind of like a combination. Yeah,
right. It's like an upper class American accent with a touch of English. Oh, it's also called transatlantic accent and mid-Atlantic accent. There's a Wikipedia page called mid-Atlantic accent. Yeah, and it's like the elites. It's like the voice of the elites. You know,
that's why
20th century.
Yeah, that's why all those old movies, they all sound like they're talking
Cary Grant.
It's not like they used to talk like that. It's just they talk like that in movies and radio.
Yeah, Cary Grant talked. Well, it was also because of the limitations of like the audio equipment and microphones and recording back then.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of cut through better. But let's see. Grace Kelly, Elizabeth Taylor, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., Joan Crawford, Cary Grant, Kathleen Hepburn, Betty Davis. Yeah, man. The Kennedys, all the Kennedys. Norman Mailer. That's who it was.
You're George Plimpton. To Freedom Fiends.
I believe we're out of break.
Truth, it hurts.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
I'm going to say a bad word now.
Worms.
So I made a couple of Twitter bots.
You made some robots.
I made some robots. I made some awesome robots.
Some software robots. So what happens when the robots start making robots? I'm worried about this. I think
when they become self-aware.
Then Skynet happens and we all die and we have to go to Silicon Valley and kill, what's his name? Kill some black dude, some scientist. What's his name?
Yeah, I don't remember. It's been a while since I've seen those movies, but
Miles Dyson.
But I think when Arnold Schwarzenegger comes back in time to save me to making sure that I created those, or I don't create those accounts. No, I guess they're going to come and kill me because I'm the one that created
there
it.
There you
right?
go.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. That's bad. I should shut up now.
So let's not bury the lead. We're talking about these two. You created these really, really cool Twitter accounts. One is called Cuck Ebooks. And one is called Fiend Ebooks. If you go to the Freedom Fiends,
there's another one too. There's Rocking Mr. Ebooks, which is a take on Rocking Mr. E, who's a YouTube channel, and he's crazy too. But there's three of them.
Okay,
so but the Fiend Ebooks and the Cuck Ebooks are the best ones. Yeah,
and you can find them by going to the Freedom Fiends Twitter site, which everybody knows. It's Twitter.com/freedomfiends. The pinned tweet at the bottom lists some of my favorite accounts, and the last two are Cuck Ebooks and Fiends Ebooks. And so these are inspired by Horse Ebooks, which is a used to be really popular. It's still really popular, but it's not what it used to be. Channel.
It's gone. They don't do it anymore.
There is one.
Yeah, they turned it off. They turned it off a while ago. It was about 2013.
Okay, well, then it's got a clone. Yeah. Because there's one called Horse Ebooks that's got like 186,000 followers.
Yeah, I think that's the one that just doesn't tweet anymore. It turned out to be one of someone that worked at BuzzFeed's art project.
Yeah, it hasn't tweeted since 2013. So
yeah.
And the last like 20 on it aren't good. So basically what these do is they combine tweets from other accounts and into kind of Dadaist random funny stuff. And what does it do? Does it take the first half of one tweet and the second half of another tweet and combine them?
Sometimes they'll take some of two or three and they'll kind of splice it up, and you can kind of set like whether like you want like 0 to 3, you know, how incoherent you want it to be, and I have it kind of somewhere in the middle, so it makes a little bit of sense. Otherwise, it's just words.
So and the Fiends book just that takes level. Ones yeah. that are the current Fiends and past Fiends that we still like. It's me, MK Lords, Davi Barker, Ben Stone, Bill Bupert, and you. Is there anyone else?
I think that's it right now. And then later I'm going to be adding some other people. Because what happened was you could only do it if you have like 300,000 or 360,000 tweets. But like a lot of the Fiends have a little bit less than that. So now that I have like this new code, I can actually add these other people. So I'm going to do that later. But
it's not based on followers. It's based on number of tweets.
The number of tweets.
I have 13,000. How many do you need?
I think it was like it was 3,600, but now it's a lot less. I have one account on the Cuck Ebooks that only has like 500 or so tweets on it. I can't remember which one it was. The Cuck Ebooks is a combination of Christopher Cantwell, and then I also used a couple of other alt-right accounts to kind of make it a little bit more racist, because it needs to be, because it's Cantwell. And I know most of his tweets are like from back in the day when he wasn't, so I have to like spice it up a little bit. You know, to add a little bit of hot sauce to it. But you also notice that the Cuck Ebooks follows a lot of cuckoldry kind of fetish Twitter accounts. Just to kind of,
it gets automatically retweeted by. Yeah, like sleep with my wife, Twitter.
Yeah. So, I thought that was a nice little touch on top.
And you can get in at the ground floor on this pyramid scheme here, because Fiend Ebooks only has 17 followers right now, and Cuck Ebooks also has 17 followers.
Yeah.
Yep.
And some of these things are great. I don't know if you want to go through some of these.
Oh, read some, man. Read some that are radio friendly. The Fiend ones are better than the Cuck ones, because the Cuck ones only combine two people, and like you said, it's going through his older tweets that weren't as incendiary.
Some of them are pretty good. I think there was one like there's racial reasons why jet fuel can't melt steel beams that I thought was pretty good on that account. So I mean there's some gold on that one, but this one's going to be a lot more radio friendly. This one says last day to win a Guy Fawkes mask, the words next to Buffalo Bill Cody Boulevard. The afternoons will be a little less? It's because of past injustice. PETA, they ain't what they used to process, or they ain't what they do not possess.
Yeah.
Sums it up until asked, what's your ethnicity? And we'll get some more. Agarus, Davy Barker, and MWD's novel actually Flipper, thinly disguised.
Wow. Nice. We'll be back with more Dan Free Radio after this trip to market.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
We are?
Yeah, we're on.
Now it's time for what? 6 minutes? Or a 12 minute? Or,
it's the long one.
13. It's a long one. So it's the long one. It's the one of Fiend eBooks.
So I gotta say, you sounded really good there. And, you know, sometimes we get dropouts with Fiend Phone, but I haven't heard a one. I've not heard one from either of us.
Now that you said it, you jinxed it, so it's gonna drip me like any second.
No, no, it's just some people's computers, and I think moreover their home systems, their internet connection is better than others, and it's not necessarily the speed, because I'm not using, I have two internet connections, and I use my DSL for Fiend Phone. I don't use my cable. My cable's much faster, but DSL is more solid, and it's definitely enough bandwidth for Fiend Phone. So what are you using? You used to have a lot of dropouts and, like, worse, but now you don't. What happened?
Yeah. Just me constantly yelling at my cable service provider in order to get them to fix everything. And they ended up like rewiring the whole apartment complex. Then I moved and they had to do it all over again.
I was surfing the web on the computer that has, you can't do that. Really, you got to just leave the computer alone. It's got to be a dedicated device. Yeah.
So go on. I'm kind of surfing right now because I'm getting ready to read some awesome stuff.
Oh, it was you. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I went through like three different cable modems and everything's working now, and it's going to go bad soon. Either way, but I'm actually going to be getting a new PC here soon, so we're going to have fun messing with that, getting that to work right. But so now it's time to read some Fiend ebooks.
I heard a rumor though. I heard a rumor that Derek Slopey is actually going to do some more final improvements on Fiend Phone this month or next month.
Nice.
Which may take it out of beta. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So there. All right.
I'm actually kind of done with Skype. I've actually uninstalled Skype from my computer. I don't reuse it anymore. And when I want to use something that's that you can't really use Fiend Phone for, because it's great for podcasts, but it's not really great for kind of having like hangouts.
Yeah.
So like I use a program called Discord, and it's great because you can get people to go and use it because there's nothing to install. You can just go to a website and it's right there and it works just like Skype.
Yeah, I've
and
seen
you can create your own servers and stuff.
Yeah. Somebody, Discord has a forum, and I saw somebody posted about Fiend Phone on the forum. Like, can we make Discord more like Fiend Phone? Fiend Phone sounds better. It's harder to use, but yeah.
Theoretically, there's a way to make Discord work like Fiend Phone, but I don't think it would be as solid because you're using some other kind of
their
like servers. Yeah, so
yeah, we're going really point to out. Point.
Yeah,
well, so we're going point. We're actually not point to point. We're going point to point through. But it's my server. It's my box that I control at GCN. Like, I bought a computer, used computer, and shipped it to GCN and had them install it on their network.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's co-located, I guess we'd say. It's a co-located server.
Yeah, so it's a little bit more dedicated. It's not like everybody and their mom can use it, so.
Nope. But to really have Discord work like Fiend Phone, I mean, you'd have to be able to turn off
the
noise cancellation. You can?
Yeah, they have ways to disable it. But again, you're using public servers, which aren't. So all right, so we do some Fiend ebooks now, because these are wonderful. I've actually kind
of these are randomly generated mixtures of several of the Freedom Fiends tweets done by a bot, by a software bot on Twitter.
All right, so I guess genocide is part of the libertarian ethos.
No.
Let's see. Freedom Fiends, woot, value, and then like a suicidal nation. Orcs, I am unable to send MK's Keenvention to sit in the execution of their claims. Just like George Washington did when he used to love going there for the retweets. Shortly after, a person wrote an inspirational post about his hair lip with a blank.
Wow.
Antoine Fantoine said it last week. Cantwell is a bridge to nowhere. You know you're not in a Nirvana shirt humming hate at height. The Islamic State is certainly freedom, and not pretending that it did force them to explore alternatives. Cartoon.
That's just wrong.
Cartoon iceberg. Surprisingly, yes. San Francisco dictator. No. Sharia law supports me. And isn't all caps. It means the government is a war tax. Already said that.
Slow down, man. Yeah. Slow down. Let us let these sink in.
All right. My theory. Molyneux lost his house from a. This week from a fire.
What was that a combination of? Where did that come from?
I think it was you saying that you had a...
He lost his Bitcoin password. Yeah.
And then someone's probably lost in a fire or something.
Wow.
I spent half a black guy was getting laid, and he shows me his awesome keychain.
Wow.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting scenario. G. Gordon Liddy said Dan Coulson, FBI killer, Ruby Ridge, Waco, etc., was on medical cannabis, not bath salts.
Hmm.
I think I already said this one. Agarus Davi Barker in MWD's novel, actually Flipper, thinly disguised.
That's worth mentioning again.
Yeah. Bomber Craig Paul Craig Robert Rock, suspected cop killer, dead in jail for it? Yes. Even Trump is a voluntarist. No.
No.
No. Bomber. No. I already said that one.
And there's a new one every hour, right?
Every hour it generates another one. And it's really kind of interesting to see how it kind of works. It gathers all of the tweets. It tries to find things it can put together. And then it creates something. And sometimes it's too long and it goes, oh, we'll just shorten it. And it cuts it in half. And for some reason, the one that gets cut in half is a lot better than the long one. And it's actually great. I can't listen to me. I can't remember where I pray at.
Huh.
Yeah. So that was kind of like the best of so far. At least these are the ones that people have decided were really good and retweeted.
Here's a Cuck eBooks one. Uncuck the right is a government policy these days.
Space, flash news, your face can be sure. I'm reading Fiend's eBooks. Still. Y'all trying
Mexican
to...
Mexican people don't report it.
Y'all supposed to offend me? Trying to pick lettuce? The racists I've met in my head. Wow. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely go check these ones out. These are great. I think this is actually better than the actual original horse book ebooks, because horse ebooks would like occasionally say something that's brilliant.
Australia. I'll be damned. Look at this country. You are gay.
Yep.
What was that?
It's when we're looking at a map of Uruguay.
Molly's got a webcam. Molly's got a webcam. Heavy metal via. Yeah. So yeah, that was my contribution to Liberty for this month.
I think it was good, man.
Yeah,
I think you did. I was kind of surprised. I have no idea how to do one of these. You sent me to a site, and I still was like, I don't know. And this is API stuff. I don't want to do this. But where do you insert it? Like, you write code and you.
There's a website. I was like, I wonder if I can make an eBooks account, like those bots. I just wanted to know if I could do it. And I was like, oh, I could do it as Cantwell. And I went to a website, and I was like looking around, and I found some websites. And one actually kind of gives you step-by-step information on how to create an eBooks account. And I'll link it to you in the show notes, I guess. And you can create your own eBooks account. And you kind of list in what you want to do, and then it tells you how exactly to plug it in Twitter. And then, you know, through a lot of trial and error, because it's really kind of technical stuff, and I'm not really that, you know, into API stuff. I mean, at all. I think this is like my first endeavor. It really kind of boils it down. And there's a lot of times where it's like, oh, it doesn't explain how to do this. It just assumes that you know how to do this. So you have to look that up. But I ended up finding like some guy who linked in the comments something else that you can just click a button and most of it's done, but you still have to enter like a lot of different things. But I got it to work, and I got was pure gold, and I'm really happy about it.
Really,
I love these eBooks accounts. These are great.
So it's code you insert in Twitter somehow, right?
Yeah, it's already kind of pre-written. It's on a GitHub, so kind of like Fiend Phone.
Because I always thought I've seen these bots before. I always thought that like you had to have a computer running 24/7 at your house to do them, but apparently not.
Yeah, I thought I was going to have to do it. I was like, oh, I can run in my background. But I was like, oh, no. Yeah. Everything's done remotely through a service called Heroku or something like that. So and it basically, it does it all for you. And it's free. You do have to enter your credit card information, but they don't bill you. So
I'm always wary of that. Like, yeah, let us in your back door, but we won't put even the tip in. It's we'll stay out of there.
Yeah. But I have like a card that I can use for such a thing, and I don't have to worry about false charges because I can cancel it out. So
is it Cuck Card?
It's a Google Wallet.
New,
I love
new improved wallet. Cuck Card.
Yeah, if they try to use it, it'll just get declined. So, yeah. but I could turn it on like so I could verify a payment just once, and then that's it. You don't have to worry about it.
Oh, you can turn it on and off.
Yeah, you can lock the card. I love Google Wallet. It is so much better than PayPal. Even though I know it's like the government's like spying on every transaction that I do with it.
They do anyway.
Yeah, but they're gonna do it with PayPal. They're gonna do it with anything. But I think Google kind of was. It's more like, whatever. Do whatever. But yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. Send me that link. I'll put it in the show notes. I'll have Scott put it in the show notes for how to make your own Cuck ebooks site.
Yep.
Why is your own Cuck ebooks?
Yeah.
Someone named Thomas Paine is tweeting at me. Why? That guy. Well, I thought he was dead.
So now that you've said that, everybody's going to start tweeting you. Hopefully that you're going to say this on the air and hopefully give them some free press on Twitter. Right?
Nope.
Nope. Yeah, you can do it to me. I'm not going to do it either. But yeah,
you can do it to me, baby.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, you had some questions that you wanted to ask, right?
Yeah. What's your road to liberty been? How'd you get to be the man you are today?
Okay. So, I used to be a green. I know I've talked about this before, but
Green Party?
At least my Green Party, Green Party passed. I've confessed for my sins. I used to be a Green Party member, and I got into it through because I was into the ska scene. And if you're into the ska scene back then, you were into this punk rock scene as well. So I was into Jello Biafra, and I learned through the Green Party through Jello Biafra. And because I agree with them on socialists, I figure that, you know, if they're right on that, then the economics must follow, right? Wrong. But I really did think that. I got involved in the Green Party. I helped campaign for the what is it, Peter Camejo. He just passed away not too long ago. Who was actually a socialist.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, he ran for governor twice. In California, and then I started like getting into like skepticism and science and evolution stuff, and there was a great show on Showtime called Penn and Teller's BS, and I was like, oh, because I was always a fan of Penn and Teller when I was little, but they were kind of like, oh yeah, let's talk about, you know, why the Bible is BS.
I gotta say that show, like, they've been playing replays of it on TV, so I've actually been like watching it again. And for the first time, a lot of them. But, like, it's really kind of quaint now. Like, it doesn't really hit hard like it used to.
But
times have changed and we've changed. Yeah.
We got Adam versus the Man now, which is kind of...
Adam versus the Man, much better. Yeah, and he's not even a libertarian, I don't think.
Yeah. And then I guess I can continue on my road to freedom.
All right.
In the
Adam versus the Man is, like, pro-government in a few things. It really bugs me. He's really pro-government. Public school. He says that public school should be 12 months a year.
Ugh.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Looking forward to the South look like downright decent folk.
That's a cucky book or a fiend book?
That was a cucky book, yeah.
Why is it called ebooks? Why is the horse thing called ebooks?
Because it was supposed to be taking random sentences from random ebooks and horses.
I thought it was taken from random Twitters about horses.
No, but this is what they're kind of doing, is they're kind of like, well, Twitter's an easy way to get like weird, kind of condensed, crazy sentences out of people, especially if you hack them up. This one I liked most. Jews, I think I'm fighting the stigma of a mental disease. Yeah. So this gets interesting.
I don't know what that means.
So anyways, I was telling you about the time that girl... she was a nice girl, but she was kind of dirty, and she infected me with libertarianism.
Yeah.
Which is like my favorite STD. So where did I leave off? I think I was watching Penn and Teller's BS, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And yes, even though it wasn't as good as...
In your diapers, your parents parked you in front of the TV.
Yep. And... And I was like, it was kind of questioning things that I kind of knew that PETA was not on the level, but I kind of agreed with what they were kind of doing, you know, to an extent, you know, stopping animal abuse. And then I realized, like, no, these guys are terrorists. I was like, every other one, they would be like, oh, you know, here's something that you will agree with. And then you're like, oh, okay, so I feel safe. And then, like, the next episode would be like, here's something that destroys your worldview. And they kept doing kind of alternating shows like that. And it got to the point where I was like, every time I looked into it, they're like, oh, I got to debunk this. This is so not true. Turned out, like, they were right. And I was wrong. And I just had to slowly start, like, okay, so what is this libertarianism thing I've seen them talk about every once in a while on C-SPAN or something? And I got into it and started reading... I started reading economics, and then, you know, I became a minarchist. And, you know, you only can stay that way for about 6 months. And then when you're exposed to things like Free Talk Live and stuff, and you end up making the jump. But I used to get mad at Ian because I was like, you're an idiot for being an anarchist. And now I'm like, Mark, you're an idiot for not being an anarchist.
And they don't use that word anymore. They won't use that word. And they're both kind of involved in politics. They're not really anarchists. They're voluntarists, I guess, but who, like, flirt with politics in some ways. But
yeah.
Yeah. You know, I heard something great on Free Talk Live today about journeys to liberty, and it was Rich Paul, who I often don't like when he's on there, because he sometimes kind of sounds sleepy, and he just sounds like he's, you know, like kind of a yes man, like, yeah, uh-huh, to what other people say. But occasionally he really drops some mad science, and he did today, mm-hmm. and he was talking about how, like, some caller was like, you know, why do you even want to try to, like, sway socialists? Because they're just going to infect libertarianism with their crap. And Rich Paul was like, no, I used to be one, and they are better candidates for liberty than conservatives are. And here's why. And he basically said that most socialists don't really want bigger government. What they want is freedom from poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And they think the way to get to freedom of poverty from poverty is having the government steal other people's money and give it to you. Now, if you can show a socialist ways that they can use the free market to be free from poverty on their own, they're likely to be able to just give up the idea of having the government do it for them.
Or how poverty would be kind of like a better situation because there is so much wealth in society because of, you know, free trade. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, like, if you think about how poor people live in America today, it is decadent compared to the way kings lived.
Yeah.
Kings lived, you know, a couple hundred years ago. And if you create society so wealthy that, you know, poor people are, you know, like, oh, you know, they still eat three times a day and have a place to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and they also have luxuries like cell phones.
Look at flat screen TV.
That's unheard of 50 years ago.
Even 20 years ago, like, they had cell phones, but they cost $1,000 to buy, and they cost, like, you know, $1 a minute to use.
Yeah.
And they only worked in, like, three cities. So even rich people, like, now, poor people have a better cell phone than rich people had 20 years ago.
Yep. And that's kind of how...
Because of capitalism, because of the true free market, not corporatism, but yeah.
Yeah.
What we call capitalism, which is not what really, it's not what, politicians call capitalism.
Yeah. And even though, as bad as the left is and disgusting as they are, I mean, the right can be equally as bad. There's kind of like a horseshoe theory involved. You know, you have those crazy socialist SJW feminist weirdos. But then you also have the alternative right, which are just as bad and probably more effective because they can actually get into power. The Reds have
more. I'm actually hoping Hillary gets elected instead of a Republican, because if a Republican gets elected, he's going to be able to get things done because he'll have the Republicans on his side in Congress.
Gridlock.
I like the obstructivism. I like obstructivism in my politicians.
Yeah.
They're not really mine,
gridlock.
Though. I vote for gridlock. I vote for guillotine.
Worms.
That was a great show. Bumper sticker. Yeah, it's a great show, man.
For yeah, it's great to have you on a whole show again.
It was great. I know. I hope I'm not suffering from it tomorrow, but maybe.
I hope not.
It's worth it. I suffer for my art. Dan, go stand in the corner. Worms.